Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, Thanksgiving Eve, 2023, Wednesday, November 22nd, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour, and we've got a full studio this morning. Matt Morgan's here. Of course, Bob Welsh is here. Bob has been here the last few Thanksgiving Eves. 2 years ago, we did the turkey pizza. Last year, we had the pumpkin pie pizza, and this year, I'm not sure what we have, but we are going to have something this morning. Now, we started something 3 years ago called the Upper Crust Society here in Marion. It was Bob's idea. Matter of fact, Bob, come over here. Explain what the Upper Crust Society is. Take Matt's seat there for a second. No, you don't have to kick Matt out. We want you to explain what this is, because it's your creation. Yeah, that's right. We'll have to do that at some point. Bob, speak right into the green microphone there. How did this come about, and who are the current members of this society?
Well, it came about, you know, a couple years ago when you had us on talking about Three Pies Hot and everything. It came up that you had gone to Tony Paco's in Toledo, and with Ted and I believe a couple other people, and
Ted and Buckeye Guy.
And Buckeye Guy, and they got to sign a hot dog bun, which is a famous thing up there, but they refused to let you sign a hot dog bun.
Well, I don't know that we asked.
Oh, but anyway,
I didn't get one, but that's true.
Anyway, it seemed like a major social faux pas there and everything.
I think it was.
In order to correct that, you know, we said, well, we'll have you sign a pizza crust. And so we baked a pizza crust and brought it in and had you sign it. And then you became the introductory member into the Upper Crust Society. Number one there.
Yeah, number one, first one in. And then it became a running thing. But there are criteria for this.
There are?
I believe there are. Because people have been rejected at points. We've gone back in emails that that person, I don't know about.
I think somebody, you know, with a strong ties to Marion.
And has made great contributions to Marion. And last year we did three.
We did three.
Last year was Mary Ellen Withrow.
Mary Ellen.
Buckeye Guy, who's come here to do a lot. And George Kasotis. Absolutely.
And we said, well, who can top that?
Yeah, that's a big year. I think we've done it, though, this year. Now, one of our inductees cannot be with us today, but she has signed the crust. And there will be a presentation, I believe, next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that's a legendary broadcaster in this area, Mary Ann Michaels.
Right.
So we're glad that she will be able to do that. And
we do have her plaque here today as well.
Oh, good. So we'll make sure she gets that next Wednesday.
Right.
Absolutely.
I don't know if we want to give our next inductee a taste of what's coming down the road here.
Well, what is coming down the road?
Well, I just mean as far as seeing what a
plaque looks like. Sure. Well, Buckeye Guy was very impressed. Oh, and Mary Ellen, too, last year with their plaques.
Well, I put a lot of work into Buckeye Guy.
Yeah, it sang the OSU theme song, did it not?
It was the first musical plaque created for the Upper Crust Society.
Yeah. Well, and I haven't said it yet, but joining us in the studio here for the first hour this morning is this year's inductee into the Upper Crust Society, Mayor Jack Kellogg, Marion's longest-serving mayor, of course, former member of City Council as well. And I was talking with Mayor Kellogg this morning. In the building we're in now here, 685 Delaware Avenue, he was a city councilman here. So, Mayor Kellogg, you want to come up to this microphone here, share your memories of working out of this building?
Well, at that time it was not as nice as it is right now, but always had big crowds to the meetings and in the courtroom down there, and it worked out real good. And I lived right down the street, so it was good for me, and a lot of fun in here. And then they decided to build a building downtown, and we moved downtown then when it got completed. But I can remember it was hospital here, you know, for years and years and years and years. So
yeah, Marion General Hospital. It was City Hall, as you say, and you also said originally it was a nursing home.
Nursing home is what I understand. Yes,
nursing home. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Now it's interesting that you'd be here, Mayor Kellogg, today, because I know you are a presidential historian. You have a presidential museum,
right?
And for people who don't know, today is the 60th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. Now, where were you when that happened?
Right down the street here.
Right down the
street,
yeah.
Well,
for people who did not live in that time, kind of explain it to them, what it was like.
Well, you know, he was a well-liked person, and anytime you saw him on TV, well, on TV we had three channels. So you didn't have a choice like you do today, but he was on quite a bit, and people just enjoyed hearing him talk. And that day, I was remember when I was down home, down here, my youngest daughter, or my oldest daughter, who's old now, but...
60 years later, yeah.
She was with me when we found out that he was shot, and she couldn't believe it. She couldn't quite understand it. I think it was, she was 6 years old. And anyway, it was hard on her. And we were in the automobile when we heard it. Then when we went home, I started talking to my wife, and anyway, it slipped out of my mouth that he was killed, and she wanted to tell her. And I remember her getting mad at me because I told her mother that he was shot.
You know, for people who don't understand the trauma that it was in the country, how do you compare it to September 11th?
Well, it was all very different. Because he was so well known and so well liked, and you know, you didn't have the news was all going to be different than what it is today, and people, they knew who the president was, but they never got to hear him too much, and it was just a very big shock to the world as that happened, and it was hard to understand why it happened. And
you know, we've seen the video so many times now of the assassination, but at that time, because there were only three channels, that video was not shown.
No.
So people did not realize when it happened just how awful it was.
Oh, yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's right. Because, you know, today what you see on TV is unreal, but back there in those days you didn't see stuff like that because they didn't have people out.
Yeah, I mean... what I understand about the history of that video, it was confiscated shortly after it was taken, and it wasn't seen for another 10 years.
Well, it was sold to Life magazine because they didn't want it viewed on television. Now, Life magazine, I do believe, months later, published some pictures, but none of the horrible pictures of the day. And I think it wasn't until the 1970s when it was actually shown on television. So it was more than a decade after his assassination. And boy, when you first saw that video, Mayor Kellogg, what'd you think?
Oh, just I couldn't believe it. I just, you know, I wasn't brought up that way, and things didn't happen that way, and it was just a big shock.
Oh, it's a terrible, terrible event. Did want to ask you, we just had an election here in Marion, and of course in the state. What'd you make of everything that went on election night?
Well, it was different, but I think people voiced their opinion. I think it was statewide was so messed up. You didn't have the truth of hardly anything. You had both sides, but both sides were not telling the whole facts. And I think if it happened again, it would be a little bit different. But still, it was critical what happened, and I hope it all works out. And we get...
You know, it's very interesting because statewide we had, of course, the two big issues of abortion and recreational marijuana. They both passed statewide with exactly the same percent, 57%. And in what has become a pretty Republican state, I think we only have one office holder statewide who is still a Democrat, Sherrod Brown. To see those issues pass with that margin was shocking to people.
Yeah, it was.
Did it shock you?
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, no.
You thought they both would pass.
I would have, even though I was against it.
Right.
But it didn't, because of the way it was come out. There was a lot of bad campaigning in there. A lot of bad, I think.
You know what surprised me on election night was in Marion County. Recreational marijuana did pass in Marion County by about 1%, and abortion only failed in Marion County by about 1%.
Yep.
So, and 18,000 people showed up in an... Of course, you've been through some mayoral race nights. Those years usually see about 5,000 people show up. 18,000 people, nearly 50% of registered voters in Marion County showed up on that night. What'd you make of that?
I thought it was very good, and I hope it continues that way.
You know, if you give people an issue, I think that they're passionate about, they'll show up. And, you know, that does say something, because we always hear about, well, people can't get to the polls, they can't do this. Well, they got there that day.
Well, and it's easy to get to. You know, you can't complain about voting. It's too easy to vote.
Well, what year did you get on city council, Mayor Kellogg?
Oh, now, come on.
It goes back a ways.
It would have been 46 years ago.
46 years ago, so in the late 70s.
Yep.
Now, I want to straighten this out, because we were talking about this before we went on air, but people believe, because the next council that will come in will be all Republican except for one member. Ayers Ratliff is the last Democrat on council. And people keep, oh, Marion's always leaning Republican. Now, tell people the truth of this matter.
I was in there 30 years, and the one time when I was mayor, for 2 years, we had the Republicans was in lead, one by one. But the rest of the time, it was always Democrat. I was never in a Republican except 2 years out of 30. Other than that, it was all Democrat controlled.
So 16 years as mayor, 14 years on council.
Right.
The entire time, the only time it ever leaned Republican were 2 years.
2 years.
So where do you think this idea has come that it's always been Republican?
I don't really know. Maybe it's the way the city was run and the county was run, that people saw the goodness of things and didn't let the politics enter into it as much as they do now.
Being on council and working with council for so many years, 30 years, what do you make of the fact that it has ended up this way, that starting January 1st there will be just one Democrat left on city council? Is that a good or bad thing?
It's good and it's bad. If I was a Democrat, it would be, you know. But you got to have competition there, because you got to bring out both sides. We're not one country to run, one person run the whole thing. And so we got to know the facts on both sides to be fair with everything. And Marion has usually been pretty good on making it clear enough that people supported both sides.
Now, you've seen a lot of new members come and go, and I believe the count, if I have it right, coming in January, I believe there are 5 new city council members who have never been there before, including the president of city council. Do you think that might be a little difficult for the time being?
It will be difficult if they don't work and wake up and see what's out there and how the city is run. You know, there's a lot of things that we have to do in the city because of where the money comes from. And, you know, you spend that money in a certain area or so on certain things. And that is real confusing for people. They think we spend too much money on something somewhere and don't really need it. But that's the way that we got that money, is to use it that way. And so you got to think on everything. You got to be pretty sharp to make sure you go the right way and you tell people the right things. And the truth always does not come out right anymore.
Now, another thing going on coming up on January 1st, we will have new mayor. Bill Collins was elected overwhelmingly on election night. I believe you supported Bill in his race.
Yes.
How do you think Bill will do as mayor?
Bill, you know, I worked with him as an officer, and Bill was always very sharp with me. I never had a bad word with him. He listened to you. He would tell you the facts. And I didn't get a chance to work with him as chief of police, but he was always so good to me, and he always investigated everything he was doing. He knew he had the facts. And I think he'll be a great mayor, as long as he don't let his police force go too far into, but but I don't think he will. I always got along with him, and he's a very sharp guy, and I think he will. And he can talk to people. He can talk to anybody at any time because he's been through the officer, and, you know, they talk to all kinds of people. And, you know, everybody has got a good side to them, and you've got to work to pull that good side out of the person. And then as you get that good side out, then you can negotiate. I learned how to be an insurance adjuster.
That's right. You know how to deal with people.
Right. I knew it. You got to know how to deal with people. Because I'm always not right. Never. And ask my wife.
she'll tell us for sure. Now, why is it, Mayor Kellogg, though, that people now in politics, and everybody would say that who worked with you when you were on city council, Mayor Schertzer has said that because he was on council you were mayor, mm-hmm. that you could work with Mayor Kellogg.
Right.
That doesn't seem to be a thing anymore.
Mike Tomlin is a good example with me. Mike and I have known each other for forever, and he was a big union guy.
Long-time Democrat.
And a long-time Democrat. And he would talk to me. He would come in my office, and we'd talk, and, you know. And we got, when we did Clinton Street out there, people just, how did you get to Meredith's Clinton Street? He said, do you ever think about sitting down, going in his office with him and sitting down talking and working it out? And that's what I didn't win all the time. You know, what I wanted to do, I didn't win, but we negotiated and did what was right for the city and the people of the city.
So, you see, that is important for people to hear, and I hope people are listening, that you don't always get everything you want all the time.
Absolutely.
You have to give a little.
Right.
People do not want to give
right.
anymore, and it gets us into a little bit of the conundrum that we're in now.
It's hard. You can't talk to a lot of people even.
No.
You just can't do it anymore.
No. It's very, very difficult mm-hmm. and unfortunate in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, Bill gave an interview to the Marion Star right after he was elected, and he did say something in there that I thought was very good. He talked about making Marion positive, that you know, basically things have to be done, work has to be right. done, but we need to feel better about our city.
That's right.
And I think that is a very positive move.
Very good, yeah. And Bill will do that.
Yeah.
I got a lot of confidence in Bill.
Yeah.
Bill will be, I think, a very good mayor.
Regardless of that, but just you came in, you had been on council, so you had seen kind of what the mayor did procedurally.
Right.
This is the first time. And boy, you probably go back further than I do, but I went back as far as Don Quaintance in the 70s, and there has never been a mayor elected mayor of Marion that did not come from city council until Bill. Is that going to be more difficult because they've never legislated? Will it be for Bill legislatively because he's never been a part of the legislative branch?
No, but he knows how it works.
Yeah.
He knows how it works, and he knows what he's got to do to get the job done. Bill was a very sharp person in there.
And Mayor Schertzer has said that he would be available to talk to Bill, and I'm sure Bill has consulted you.
Bill, I get along with Schertzer, and he and I, you know, we communicate quite a bit.
You know? It's very interesting. I always tell people one of the great nights in radio that I had is when the Aquatic Center was voted on. And just to give people a little background, you fought the Aquatic Center when you were mayor.
Right.
You didn't want it.
Right.
And then it came about because of if I remember this right, a Republican who was running for mayor at the time, was a council person, was pushing this along with others. He certainly was not the only one. Mayor Schertzer vetoed it. He did not want it. And on the night of the second veto, Mayor Schertzer came down to the radio station and said they overturned my veto again to put this aquatic center up. And I had you on, I think, the next day, and you said, I agree with Mayor Schertzer. I don't know why they're doing this.
Yeah. As long as I was in a swimming pool, never made any money. Never. No matter what you do, it doesn't make money because it's way the climate is here. And we need one. Sure, we need one, but we got one.
Yeah, we did get one, and we've had one now for about 10 years.
Right.
And I think the mayor told me last time we talked about it that its most profitable year was the year it was closed because of COVID.
Right.
So that should tell you something about the Aquatic Center down there.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I think people to this day are confused. In that part of town, how were they ever going to draw outside traffic? Because that was the big people will come. They haven't.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the...
No, it was built in the wrong place.
Wrong place. Mm-hmm. Well, a few things are coming up here, Mayor Kellogg, that I do want to ask you about. On December 11th, we're going to have this vote on the pay raise for the mayor, which would take the mayoral salary up to $110,000 starting January 1st. Do you think this is a good idea? We haven't voted on it yet.
My first few years, I made $23,000.
$23,000.
23 or 26, I can't remember for sure. But.
Now, this is 1992, so not all that long ago. It's not ancient history.
I see. When I left, I was making, I think, $52,000.
So in 2008, $52,000. And I think right now, Mayor Schertzer makes $69,000. Yeah. And the pay raise is going to happen. I believe it's going up to little over 70, regardless. That they did vote on that. But they are going to vote on December 11th to raise this. I think it's 110. I hope I have that number right. Do you think they should vote yes or no on this?
I don't know what the rest of the communities are around here now. You know, what the mayor is making, and our size and everything. So I don't know. I wouldn't voice my opinion on that without knowing more information.
You know, I think the big thing that bothers people is the jump. Not necessarily that the mayor shouldn't make, you know, over $100,000, just that it's going from 69 to 110 with a new mayor. I think that's what bothers me. That's a big, big jump in money.
Who brought it in, you know?
Well, Jason Schauber brought it up in council. He's the head of the Finance Committee, but he did not want it to take effect until 4 years from now because he thought it would draw better candidates because apparently they're having trouble getting candidates.
Yeah, sure.
So they thought, well, maybe if we offer compensatory money to other counties and cities, that will help. Well, then council decided to move it up 4 years. And I think that has got people. Yeah. We'll find out what happens on December 11th.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Now, the other with Mayor Schertzer wrapping up 16 years here, January 1st. What have you made of his term?
Well, I always got along with him pretty well. I think he's been weak in some getting businesses here and keeping our business going. And streets are horrible, a lot of areas, but he's still. The money's not there to get today, too. And that's a problem, you know. And the unemployment's been bad, you know, for America, for the whole world. And that has hurt us. And, like, people are not paying their taxes because they don't have money. Well, and that hurts him, too. So, you know, it's, overall, he's been here and he's worked. You know, he worked pretty hard, but it's just, I think, the time hurting him more than anything.
If we look back on his 16 years, if you had to give him a grade, where would you put him?
No, I would not make a comment on that.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. You know, it's interesting, though. What does a mayor have to do with street repair? A lot of people don't understand the connection.
Well, we apply, you know, for grants and things like that. Well, the grants you apply for, you can only use in certain ways in certain places. And usually the grants will go to an area where traffic is not real busy. But where traffic is real busy, you can't get any help on streets until the state decides to do something. Then you can get stuff done. But it's tough, very tough, because you when you apply for money, you can only use it for certain times and certain ways. And that's what people don't understand, why we spend money in an area where really don't need it, but we need the work done, but it could be used somewhere else better, but you can't use that money there. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, is how we're restricted how we can spend money.
Now, I do want to bring this up, and it's the last thing to do with Marion politics, and we'll get on to the fun stuff. But Mayor Schertzer has said on the air, so it's no secret, and I believe he'll be on with me next Tuesday again. Only two spots left before his term runs out in January. But he has said that he does want to remain in politics. He's been approached by, I forget the number, but several different people to run for several different offices. He has mentioned that the one he really wants to do is state treasurer. He wants to run for that again. But he also mentioned that county commissioner, he said he needed to see how the gerrymandering ended up and how that all looked and who was running again and who was not running again. Where do you see Mayor Schertzer going from here? Good idea to run for state treasurer?
No. He'd be going to run for county commissioner. Probably be a good place for him to try there.
Now, why do you think better on the county level than the state level at this point?
Well, he doesn't have any good experience in controlling monies. As mayor, you don't control as much as people think we do. And he has no experience in treasurer work. And state of Ohio, that's a big, big, big job.
Yeah, that is a big job.
That's right.
Before I want to ask you one more thing, because we've had such an interesting time with our auditor here. Now, maybe you could speak to this better than anybody. The last two auditors, we've had interesting times with the mayor, their relationship. When you were auditor, I don't remember there being big issues with you and the city auditor. Were there any?
Oh, no. We know Bob Kramer. You know, he and I got along great, and he knew how to do it, and all I had to do was talk to him, and we get worked out what we needed. And I never questioned Bob Ellen. He was a great guy and did a good job, and we just got along good. I never knew there was a problem with the auditors the way there are now today. But
well, and that's the funny thing. We've had Robert Landon, who resigned from his position. Miranda McGinnis was appointed, and the mayor has asked for both of those people's resignation over the last 4 years. How can this happen? I mean, we do elect the auditor. That's not an appointed position. The mayor is not the boss of the auditor,
no.
Which Mayor Schertzer has made very clear, and that is the truth. But why can we not get anybody qualified, in your opinion, to do this?
I don't understand. I don't understand that. Why we cannot get a qualified person in that job. And it is so important, that job.
How did you see the Robert Landon situation?
I almost saw it. I think I saw it when he was running.
Oh, really?
I tried to work with him. I tried. Well, matter of fact, I did. I gave him a lot of names to call for money and stuff like that. But he would never talk to me.
So he kind of had his own agenda.
Yes.
So at that point, you said this could be different.
And I've never met this auditor.
Yeah, never met Miranda. Well, that's I'm going to get to Miranda in just a second because there's some interesting things about her. She's been on with us, but just on Robert's point of view, do you think in the end result, knowing what we know now about the fines and what happened there, do you think the mayor was right in asking for his resignation?
You know, I don't know enough about it to really make a comment on that. I don't understand how the problem started, who started it, and why. It could have been before. It could have been going on for quite a few years, and it just finally blew up.
Now, just want to chat about Miranda McGinnis for a second. As you say, you've never met her, but Miranda is an independent, and this is odd to a lot of people because last time she was on. Because for people who don't know, when Robert Landon left the position, the Republicans held that seat. So they got to fill the seat with whoever they wanted. Now, in a situation like that, it usually tends to be they would fill it with a Republican.
Right.
And I think even in the newspaper, it was printed that Miranda was a Republican. But when we had her in here in October, I said, "Why did you become an independent?" And she said, "I've never been a Republican." What do you think happened there?
Things wasn't checked out good enough.
Apparently. Something went on. Well, with what we know now, with the city continuing to accrue fines, what do you make of her? I know you've never met her personally, nothing personal, but she's been asked to resign by council and the mayor.
I don't know for sure where this problem is. You know, city council got involved in a lot of things there, too, that they was overstepping their boundaries. So I don't know the problem.
You know something interesting, Mayor, is we had Ayers Ratliff on after the election. I believe it was the morning after. And he said that the thing he's most worried about right now with the new city council is that they're going to come in and fire the clerk of city council, which last time there was a big turnover, they let the clerk go. Do you understand why? What function besides doing a lot of the big work there does the clerk have? It's not an elected position.
The clerk.
The clerk. The person who sits up there and announces what's coming up next on the agenda and sends out the agenda.
President of Council, President of...
Not the president, but the clerk of city council.
Oh, she just... that's a... they can fire who they want to right. on that.
Do you understand why they would fire a clerk who's doing their job if
no,
they are?
No.
That's what Ayers said he was fearful of. Because because of all the new council members coming in, that they would get rid of the clerk. Because last time there was a big turnover, they let go of the clerk.
Yeah, the clerk is appointed position every... And it's a busy job. And usually we always put somebody in who was in the city hall all the time because I helped out tremendously on as a clerk.
Now, when you had elections in the city, was the clerk ever removed or appointed or anything of that nature?
Just when they retire or something.
It's different now, and I'm not sure. That's a whole nother thing because it's not an elected position. I certainly don't think it's a political position. They don't have a vote on anything. So I don't understand why this has become a thing.
Well, you know, most generally, it was always the secretary of the mayor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You had a good secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Did she just retire?
No, she's still there.
She's still there? She's still there?
That's another...
Oh, that's a whole other thing at this point.
She is a great, great person.
Well, you know, I, for a long time I dealt with her because she was Mayor Schertzer's secretary, I believe, and then within the last year I noticed that I wasn't dealing with her anymore, and I thought she had retired. No. I guess not. That's a whole other can of worms.
That's right.
Okay, well, we'll leave that where it is for her. but she was always, yes.
She is a very, very sharp person, and she has got a good mouth on her, what she tells people. And she tells that she's very truthful of everything she does. You could not ask for a better when she doesn't spread things.
That's good. But she has spoken to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, but she does, is she still at City Hall?
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the service department.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll figure that out down the road. But it's interesting. Oh, and I was talking with Mayor Kellogg earlier, and this will be a lot of fun because on...
Talk to him now.
Yeah, that's right. Can I say later? What did I say? It's early in the morning.
Last week, 2 weeks ago.
No, I was talking to Mayor Kellogg earlier about lighting the Christmas tree this coming Saturday. And I think the mayor's going to make it down there for us. We're going to have the tree lighting ceremony on Saturday night at 7 p.m. in downtown Marion. What they've done with Founders Park down there, that's a nice thing.
Nice place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's nice during the holiday season to drive through there and see what's going on.
Yeah.
What do you think, if for somebody who lives outside of Marion, if you had to say, these are the best parts of Marion, this is why Marion's a great city to live in, what would you say?
That's a hard thing to say right now, because we are down in a lot of things. Downtown is trying, but it's still, we're not getting people down there that we should be getting down there. And I don't know, something very hard to, we're in trouble. But there's a lot of people not working right, you know, not working. Our police department is doing a great job, I feel. But it's just one of them things that the money flow is not here.
New fire station coming up.
Yep.
But our bond rating is gone.
Right now it is, yes.
Now, how important is that?
Very, very important. Very, very important.
Did you ever think you'd see the day when the bond rating would be gone?
No. When I was a mayor, we never even had to discuss that. We never had any problem at all with something like that.
So coming in here for Bill, as you say, you think he'll do great, but it's going to be tough. It'd be tough for anybody.
That's right. But he's a policeman, and I think he'll step in there and he'll... You got to listen to people, and I think Bill, the type of guy, can, but just as long as he don't explode.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very difficult, I think, just, and again, for anybody it would be, to walk in with a council that's new, Bill not having been to the legislative branch of government before, no bond rating in the city. I mean, that's going to be tough for everybody. How long do you think, because, you know, the media and everybody else has a tendency to jump on somebody right off the bat, how long should people give Bill a chance to get things together? Because it's going to take some time to get his bearings.
It's going to take a year to get him before he can get him. But he'll, you watch him. He, first day, you watch him.
Good things are going to happen.
Sure.
Well, what do you think will happen on the first day?
He will organize things, get things back in the way they should be going, and he'll work with console. He'll work with administration, with other offices, and he'll work with the people, Marion.
What do you think is the biggest thing he'll need to change organization-wise going in the first day that's not working right now?
Communication.
Why do you think in a world where everybody's got a cell phone and an email and they all work in the same building that there is such communication problem right now at City Hall?
Well, people don't try anymore. People are different today. You know, they're changing. People are different. They don't want to know everything, and they make their own decision before they know what's really happening.
They got to give some. They got to. Well, they don't.
No, they don't.
They don't. And I don't know in the long term what this is all going to mean.
Drive down the streets. How the traffic is, and how people treat you driving.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
They won't give you. You stop at a red light, and you better not start up too fast, because about four people will go through that red light before you.
You've been in Marion your entire life. What's the biggest change you've seen in 80 plus years?
Losing good businesses.
Yeah. When would you say that happened?
Well, it was partially my. I lost two. You know, Marion Power Shovel. I lost, but I did gain quite a few too.
Oh yeah, Kellogg Parkway.
Yeah, I gained quite a few, but losing Marion Power Shovel, that hurt City of Marion. The railroads, how they've cut down, all the plants that we have lost. And can it be unions? That's a question too. But you got to work with the unions too. I work with all of them.
You know what's interesting, Mayor, and I love this story. We've got about 9 minutes left with the mayor. He's got an appointment he's got to get to, and we've got to get him to sign this pizza crust. And the mayor will be, by the way, we're going to present the mayor with the plaque that will come of this on Fruitcake Toss night. Third year, Mayor Kellogg has been in the Fruitcake Toss, coming up on December 14th. And I want to tell this story, and then I think, Matt, did you want to ask Mayor Kellogg a question? I'm going to have him up here in just a second. But this story needs to be told. And I don't think I've ever told it on air with Mayor Kellogg before. But I remember this clear as a bell. 2005, we were doing a benefit show down at the Harding Hotel. And we were honoring Madge Cooper, who had been a long broadcaster, philanthropist here
in
Marion.
Right.
And Madge, I think, was about 95 at the time, but still getting around very well. And Mayor Kellogg thought, as we did, that the day should be named for her. And that was great, and he was going to do it, and it was going to be fine. It was going to be a surprise to her. And Mayor Kellogg was going to present this proclamation on a Thursday night, I believe it was. And the week, and these events are planned out months in advance.
Right.
So the week of the event, Mayor Kellogg's wife, unfortunately, early that week passed away. And it was, she had been ill, but
right,
still,
right.
That's hard. You were married how long?
50 years.
So she passes away, and of course, I think, he's not going to be there because, his wife has just passed away. That's hard. I wouldn't even ask him to be there. So I was trying to call the office just to get the proclamation, and I figure we would read it. Everybody's going to understand why the mayor's not there. And we get to that night, and I could not get the proclamation. Just some miscommunication. And it gets to be the night of the show, Thursday night. Like I say, she had just passed away earlier that week. And Mayor Kellogg walks in the door with the proclamation. And I said, I'm so sorry to hear about your wife. You didn't have to be here. And you said, I told you I'd be here, and I'm here.
Yep.
And, that's the kind of guy Mayor Kellogg has always been. So that's important.
I try to be that way.
You are. And that had to be a hard time for you.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard time.
It was very hard.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But things are good now.
Mm-hmm.
Things are good.
Yep.
Matt, if you want to come over here and ask your question, and then we're going to sign this pizza crust.
So, from what I've been told, it seems like you were a pretty popular mayor of Marion. Why didn't you ever take it to the state level?
I was age. When I retired, I was 72 years old from mayor. And I just didn't feel that at that age, I should go to a higher job.
When did you start politics then?
Back in the 60s.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I can vouch, Mayor Kellogg was very, very popular.
Still am.
Still is?
It's amazing.
That's right. It is. You are. When people see you, they always ask me, how's Mayor Kellogg doing?
Yep.
That's why I'm glad you stopped by and visit with us, because people do like to know. How are you in general?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, you look good for people who can't see you.
Do you think that Marion becoming the fruitcake tossing capital of the world going to bring in more tourism and help turn the city around?
It sure should.
It should.
Especially if they see us toss
them. Well, and we're already up to about 30 people, and we've still got weeks to go. And you know, the funny thing about the fruitcake toss, we've been doing stuff like this in Marion for years. We've done the peanut push. We do stuff like this all the time. And I think when mayors and past mayors are involved in this stuff, that's fun for people to see their mayor out there.
Well, I work 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Well, and now explain to people, because that's important to know. This, you can't shut this job off as mayor.
No, because, you know, even when if the police arrested somebody and they demanded they want to speak to the mayor during the night, they had to call me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I...
And what were those calls like?
Oh, well, a guy drunk as all get out.
Yeah, that's right.
But I got along with him.
Well, and also, I remember you married a lot of people.
About 100 a year.
Yeah, 100. Now, does the mayor even do that anymore?
I don't know.
I haven't heard of that for a long time. The mayor did used to marry people, and also... I believe I'm right on this. You used to have kids come up to your office.
Oh, my heavens, yes.
And do their homework.
That's when the school was behind us.
Yeah, yeah.
They would, after school, if they had homework, they'd stop my office and go in our conference room there and do their homework, because they said if they go home, they didn't have the opportunity to do homework because of where the family operated.
See, now, was that ever a problem for people who say, well, the mayor is busy, he can't see everybody?
The order was, down at the front desk, if somebody comes here, wants to talk, poor guy, dirty guy, no matter what he is, if he comes in and wants to talk to the mayor, you send him upstairs.
He got to see the mayor.
Yeah, but they did not do that.
No, the people downstairs, yeah. Well, and I think it speaks to your popularity, is that people, whether they were Republican, Democrat, you were accessible.
Yep. And, you know, I had a lot of kids who had a mental illness or something, they come in and want to talk to the mayor. I always talk to them.
Yeah. Well, how hard is that, really?
I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and it's I think it's kept up to this day. When people see you in public,
yep.
It's the same type of thing. Well, Bob, are we ready to go? Do we have the crust to sign?
We do have the crust to
sign. All right. Now, Bob, explain how this works. This is an actual pizza crust. I know. We'll get the drum roll ready. This is an actual pizza crust, but you take it back to Columbus, and what do you do to preserve this thing?
put it in the freezer.
No, you preserve it somehow.
We've been shellacking them for the last couple of years, and that's worked out pretty good so far, but they're still accumulating in my freezer here, and so at some point in time, we're going to have some sort of...
do something with the pizza crusts are piling up in there.
They are, and luckily we got a big freezer, but at some point in time, something's going to have to give, and maybe we'll have to... Maybe when we have the...
The fruitcake toss.
The fruitcake museum, or the Apple Press Museum, or something like that, we can put them in there on the wall or something.
All right, Mayor Kellogg, if you want to do the honors there and sign your name to the pizza crust here. On Thanksgiving Eve.
The entire pizza is yours. And so you take as much space or as little space as you need.
Whatever
you want. However you want to be remembered for, you know, in memoriam, you know, for hundreds of years.
Exactly.
Actually, my wife asked the other day, what happens to all these plaques after the people pass on? Do you get them back? And I go, I don't want them back.
Well, they
should be hanging in pride in the recipient's heirs' homes for years to come.
Well, my plaque is in the foyer of my house, and I believe Mary Ellen's is up in her house. Now, Buckeye Guy, I'm sure it's up, because I think he's got a little room down there. Hey, that looks pretty good. Very, very nice. All right, the mayor has signed the pizza crust, and again, the presentation of the plaque will take place on Thursday night, December the 14th at 7 p.m., And we're going to get a picture here because we have to get a picture for the plaque.
For posterity.
And we're going to, we'll take that in about a minute here because we're going to go into the break. And again, Mayor Kellogg has a previous engagement, but he will be with us on Saturday night lighting the Christmas tree in downtown Marion. And there's nobody better to do it than Mayor Kellogg. Mayor, you have always been so nice to me. And gosh, I'm starting to feel a little old myself because we're going back more than 20 years now doing interviews and things.
Yeah.
I'll be working on my third mayor now coming up. Nobody nicer and more accommodatable than Mayor Jack Kellogg. And again, he'll be at the Fruitcake Toss for the third year, receiving his plaque this year on December 14th. And again, lighting the Christmas tree in downtown Marion this coming Saturday night, Founders Park, at 7 p.m. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare flip the dial.
You're listening to The Talking Place, the legendary.